So, living water. This today is the last one in our living water series, and we will move on from here into Advent. But what I wanted to do today was just do a roundup of everything we've done. We've been on this since June with a bit of a break for August. And I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed hearing from all the various people who've come and brought us thoughts. And the series was based around the story of Jesus meeting the woman at the well and offering her not physical water from the well, although that's what the story's around, but living water, which is life from him. And he wants to offer everyone living water. And from that we've taken that actually what he wants us to do is drink his living water, let it well up in us, and us be the people who offer it out to those around us today. And you know, we have a great culture here in River Maidenhead of being people who love and serve the community around us and our families and our friends. But we also want to be people who are really open about our faith, taking opportunities when God brings them to us to share respectfully, but confidently and joyfully with people what Jesus is all about and what our lives with him are and how he can make a difference in their lives too. I've been pondering this verse this week from the message from Philippians. Do everything readily and cheerfully, no bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night. And I just took that as a real encouragement for us. You know, let's provide people with a glimpse of good living and the living God in the way we are, the presence of God that we carry just by being his children. But let's also carry the light-giving message into the night. And, you know, we want this church, don't we, to grow and impact our community of Maidenhead. And that's not because we want to rule the world as River Church, but it's because we want to see people come to know Jesus and live as children of God, as we do. People who are so loved by God. Do you know, I was at a leadership thing yesterday with a lady called Fran Beckett, and she was taking us through a sort of encounter time with God. And she said, do you know, God's name is I Am. He's here. Now, he's not I was, or I will be, he's I am, I'm here, now. There's no problem with God being here, we just need to turn our awareness on. And he's there, and we can be people who turn our awareness on to him and show others how to do the same thing. People will come here to River because they see life here, but Jesus said go. And make disciples. And so we want to be people who leave this building and who go out with our friends, our families, our community in Maidenhead and hold out this life-giving message that we have here, not just relying on Sunday meetings or our outreach events, fabulous as they are. Do you remember back at the beginning I did some maths with you? And I said, if we said there were 100 people here, and every one of us had one conversation a week, that would be 5,000 a year about Jesus. That's quite amazing, isn't it? 5,000 conversations with our friends, in our community, in our workplaces, about our faith, about Jesus. 5,000 opportunities for people to experience some living water. So, let's go for it. And we talked about this, didn't we? This made everybody laugh when I put it up, but I liked it. We talked about this is a living water that Jesus is offering. We want to drink it for ourselves. We want to allow it to well up within us. Those verses about Jesus' living water welling up in us, gushing out in the way we live, in the way we bring community, by bringing the kingdom of God through Jesus living within us. But we want to offer it. We want to offer it as well. So we did this Living Water series, and what our heart and aim behind that was to just bring you some teaching and encouragement on a Sunday morning that would equip, resource us, encourage us. And so this morning I'm just going to do a quick overview And I'm going to ask, what have we learnt? What have we learnt? Because we've sat here week by week. We've done things in our small groups. I wonder, what have we learnt? So have a think. Have a think. What's the one thing you can bring to mind that you've learnt? Maybe not information, but maybe something you know God's done in your heart. And in a moment, a little while, we'll have an opportunity to share some of those things. And then there's a couple of things I'd like to bring, which are just some encouragements to us as we go forward. So, the Living Water series. Who can remember? We started way back in June when Lawrence Singlehurst came for the very first time. And do you remember he was talking about the talking Jesus research, which I found really interesting, because basically that research amongst people who wouldn't consider themselves churched, wouldn't consider themselves as followers of Jesus, basically showed that people don't really know who Jesus is, but they think Christians are quite nice people, actually. And they'd be quite open to hearing more from us. We had Colin come. Do you remember Colin coming? And he did his What is the Gospel series, where he looked at how are we sharing what the gospel is? What does the good news actually mean? And I don't know about you, but again, I found that really interesting, because I've been a Christian a lot of years, and steeped in me are things that I've picked up along the way. And I discovered some of those aren't all that helpful, actually, in communicating with people the heart of God for them and what this thing is all about. We had Chris Greenslade came and did Who is Jesus? Some of the alpha material with us. And then we had some how-tos. How could we share our faith? Do you remember Lawrence talking about conversational tennis, backwards and forwards? We had Andy Reid last week with his heart styles stuff, what's going on in our hearts as we do it. And we've tried to create some opportunities for you to share and give some resources to help. So do you remember the Queen's birthday book that we had? And we took and we gave out. And we did a big party to go with that in Larchfield. And each week we've wanted to take stories from people about how they are taking steps to share their faith. Jonathan came, my Jonathan, talked about his workplace situation. We had Al, do you remember Al coming, talking about being salt and light? And in our small groups have been looking at fruitfulness on the front line material, all about how we can be fruitful in our daily contexts. And then there's our lovely jar of risk, which is looking really full. And this was basically about us stepping out of our comfort zones. Because when we step out of our comfort zone, that's when we take a risk. When we take an opportunity to say something to somebody about Jesus. And that's often where the magic happens. That's often when those conversations come, like Vince was sharing, where you just have a moment to share something with somebody. And the whole point about the jar of risk was that we were celebrating the risk and not the outcome. Yeah? The outcome is up to God. All we do is do our bit and we leave. And all our intention needs to be is to leave the person we're with in a good place when we go, thinking, well, they're all right. God's all right. That's okay. And then we move on. And people go on their journeys of faith and we drop in and out of that as the Holy Spirit leads us. So that is what our jar of risk was. Now, I happen to know, because I bought the balls. I bought 360 balls. So I would say there's probably about 300 in there. That's quite amazing, you know, that we've done that. And I would encourage us all to keep doing that, not just when the jar's there, because it might not be there over Advent, but let it become part of our culture. Now, I figured we needed to celebrate this, because I think this is very good. And I'm a person who celebrates with chocolate. So I bought some celebrations. It's Christmas time. And let's pass them around and everybody take one as a church. And we will celebrate the fact that we have been going on a journey, taking risks to share our faith. And we will continue to do that. So take that, pass that round. Everybody take one. And let's just be really grateful to God for all of those opportunities. And in fact, I just might pray over this jar as that happens. So, Lord, Father, I want to thank you for every person that's represented by one of these balls, Father God. Every opportunity that was taken for us to share something of your love, of your goodness, maybe just even to say we're a Christian, we go to church. Father God, to begin to sow seeds. And Lord, we bless every one of these risks. And Lord, we just turn them over to you. It's your responsibility what happens now. And Father, I just ask that you'll carry us on in this journey that we're on. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I suppose what I really want to do this morning is to encourage us all to keep on going and to make this our lifestyle, not something that we stop now. I'm not talking about it anymore. You know, I've realized for myself that I've become really quiet about my faith. It's really easy for me to love my friends and say a little bit here, there and everywhere, but not to be very open about Jesus and about this is Jesus in my life. And I've been really encouraged. I've been reading a blog by a man called James Emery White. I'll show you a picture of him. It's not amazingly flattering. But he is the senior pastor of this church, and he is a writer. He's a theologian. He's an amazing teacher, and he's a thinker, especially on culture and modern culture. And he writes a lot of blogs. That church, he started in 1992 with 60 people, and they now have 11,000 people. And I think it's something like 70% of them are under 30. So it's amazing. So he has quite a lot to say. And he says this: we are called to convey the message of Christ to a fallen world. Further, we are called to care and to care deeply about the spiritual state of those around us, our friends, our neighbours, our family, and our co-workers. And they are more than willing to listen. They're more than willing to engage. Now, that should be adding up to swelling churches, vast conversions, sweeping revival, but it's not, because we don't believe it. We think they aren't interested, and that any conversation, any sharing, any invitation will simply be awkward and unproductive. So we don't have those conversations. The irony is devastating. The unchurched are willing to listen to the churched about their faith, but the church aren't willing to take the risk to talk about it. I thought that was just really interesting. And he wrote this little letter. So I've adapted it slightly. Apologies, James, just so it was a bit more English. But he wrote this little letter. So what I want you to do is imagine, okay, this is a memo. And this is Satan, the enemy, writing this memo to his troops about us, okay? So I'm directing it to a follower of Jesus called Joe. So listen to this. Now that Joe has crossed over to our enemy, to Jesus, our goal is not only to keep him from drawing near to God. How true is that? It's hard, isn't it? But to keep him from encouraging others to join these followers of Jesus. We've had a fair amount of success in creating apathy in Jesus' followers towards the state of their fellow men, but not as much as we'd like. Our latest effort, however, is working brilliantly. Rather than attempt to prevent the relationships from occurring, or even dulling their concern towards those around them, the new effort is simply to sow seeds of doubt. Plant the thought on every chance you get at how offended others would be if Joe talks about this Jesus. How painfully awkward it will be. Unfortunately, we know it isn't true, but Joe doesn't. If we can get him to believe this simple lie, then it doesn't matter who comes into his sphere of influence or how much he may care for them. He will fear uttering even the slightest word, and the victory will be ours. The most powerful of those Jesus followers didn't fear us, and they didn't fear the reaction of their peers. This was our great miscalculation. We let them become, I can hardly bear utter the words, bold in their faith. How I hated them. We are not making that mistake again. So this is what you simply must not allow. Counter boldness with timidity, courage with the fear of embarrassment. I think you'll find this will work quite nicely. And I read that and I thought, how interesting. How interesting when you see it from the other way around. And you know, our major obstacle is often fear, isn't it? And I would just really want to encourage us to be people who take courage. Don't know if you remember at Riverfest, if you were there, Julian Richards was our speaker. And he talked about courage and he said, you know, fear is always there. But we are people who choose courage and not cowardice. And I've shown this scripture before. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. You know, God wants us to have amazing adventures with him, taking risks like this. He wants us to just have great conversations with people. He wants us to have the joy of seeing people find what we've found. You know, it's so easy to take it for granted. We have lives that are full of peace. We have security. We have a God who loves us, a Father who's always with us. You know, we can know joy. We have community. We have family. They are amazing things. And God wants us to adventure with him in inviting others to know this that we have. So I've got a little risk that you can all take. This Christmas, we're doing a Christmas meeting on Sunday, the 18th of December, 6 o'clock here, called The Most Magical Christmas. It's going to be an evening of carols, of readings, of fun. No, why is that? Oh, we didn't take the animation off it. I'll keep hold of it. It's going to be storytelling. There's going to be opportunities for children to be involved, for grown-ups to be involved. And today we have here the invitations. There are some here at the front. There are some on the welcome desk there. There are some in there. And I would really encourage you to take some and invite your family and your friends. We're going to make this room look magical. We're going to have lovely music. The kids can dress up in fancy dress. And we're going to have an evening together where we celebrate the most magical Christmas. So take some of the invitations. Invite your friends, your work colleagues. Let them come. We promise it will be an evening that you will be glad to have brought them to. So there's a risk that you can take this week. You can send them around again. If I take them home and there's some left, then I'll only have to eat them. That's a really bad thought. So, I wonder, what have we learnt? What have we learnt through this series? Have any of you learnt anything? I've learnt some things. Real revelations to me. I've felt the thing challenged in me that I have always thought, which is that people aren't open to listen. And I've always thought, exactly that memo, or better hadn't, be a bit offend people they don't want to hear. I've really felt that challenged in me, that actually to overcome that obstacle that stops me. I've also, I love the conversational tennis. Isn't that easy? You just chuck something out and see if somebody comes back with a question and a response. If they do, you go back. If they don't, that's fine. You've done your bit. I loved that whole concept from Lawrence. And you know what? I was quite challenged by Colin's teaching series on what is the gospel, because I have a really old-fashioned, I think, sense of what the gospel is. And I was really quite challenged as to how to present what my faith and the love of Father God is about. So I have actually been quite challenged. Anybody else? Is there anybody? Anything that you picked up over the last few weeks and months? John? John, people are more open actually than we realise. It's believing that lie that actually people aren't open, but they actually are. Anything else? Yeah, people are asking questions beneath the what's going on. That was, Andy brought that last week, didn't he? What was the woman at the well really, really talking about? What was her real thirst? Jesus just kept on talking about her thirst for him, Anything else? Yeah, that's a brilliant point, isn't it? We can get so consumed, paralyzed by fear that actually we've got to do everything in one moment, that if we have an opportunity to share our faith, oh my goodness me, we've got to give them the whole gospel, every scripture, the whole thing, bring them to a prayer, lead them over the line, whatever the line is. Yeah, exactly. But it's that lovely thought, isn't it, that people are on a journey and we're just part of the journey that they're on. And we just do our little bit and then we let them move on their journey. And our key thing is to leave that person in as good a place, if not better, than we found them. So to be loving and respectful and caring, that people are happy for us to be ourselves. Yeah, that's a really good thing. Yeah. Yeah, you can see people taking small steps, but sometimes people just can't see good things that come from God, and there's our opportunities often to point that out, isn't it? And really, yeah, help them to look higher. B. Yeah, people are more spiritually open now than they were a generation ago. I think that's probably some of the stuff I was alluding to, that I have such a fixed, you know, I've been a Christian for 32, 33 years. I have quite a fixed view of what people are like from way back, and actually our culture's changed. Ben. Yeah, our language is really important, isn't it? What we say, how we talk. You know, I loved Lawrence saying, you know, if we start talking about sin, it's not going to go all that great, is it? Because it's such an outdated word. And Lawrence suggested selfishness is a really great way of describing the problem that there is in the world. And if you think about it, selfishness is that. So yeah, our language is really important. We can be really, don't have to be religious, just be really ordinary. Yeah, anything else? Yeah. Yeah, how we are toward people. You know, we can't come across as superior and thinking we know it. You know, we can't judge people. We're coming across in real love. And the key, isn't it, is loving people. The key is coming humbly and lovingly towards people. Any others? Yeah, Karen. Yeah, no, that's great, isn't it? It's about kind of being aware constantly of people and what's going on around them. And I love that thing Colin encourages us to do, which is, you know, to get up every morning and say, God, give me an opportunity today. Give me an opportunity. And it's amazing if we open ourselves up to that actually God will do that. There was a hand I saw, Jill. I think that's really important, that we are authentic people the whole time. And that, you know, we go through good things, don't we? And we go through bad things. We go through things that are really tough for us to cope with. And people need to see us in the rain and the shine in our walk with Jesus, because it's not all about happy, happy times. But he is there and he walks with us through the dark times. Yeah, definitely. Yes, Jill. That's great. Yeah, and that was the point of the jar of risk. You know, it's the responsibility is God's, isn't it? We just do our bit, and he is the one who has people's hearts, who knows people through and through, and we just do our part. I'm sure there are lots of things that you've thought about, and I would encourage you to mull it all over and continue on this journey. Just because we're stopping Living Water, we're not stopping it. That's not like, right, showing our faith, that's finished, we don't do that anymore. We're going to carry on, but this was part of changing our culture. And just as I draw this talk to a close, I just want to share just a couple of things, a couple of reminders, and I want to share a dream with you that I had. Now, I don't dream very often, or if I do, I don't remember them. This was really vivid, and this was a few months ago. We'd started the Living Water series, and yeah, I don't know what was going on in my head at the time. But anyway, so in my dream, I was out one Saturday morning. I was out doing some shopping, and I walked past Larchfield Community Centre. Now, for some reason, that was down in the centre of town. And I walked past it, and loads of river people were there. They were just in there. They were chatting to people. They were having conversations about Jesus. There was a lot of laughter. They were having coffee together. And I was like, oh no, they can't be, because I knew in 2 weeks' time we had our big Larchfield outreach, and I was like, oh no, they've all got the wrong date. Oh no, they've all come 2 weeks early. And in my leader head, I'm thinking, but if they've come this week, that means in 2 weeks' time none of them will come, because they'll all be busy and they've all done it. What am I going to do? What did I communicate? Did I put the wrong date in the email? And so I rushed in to say, oh no, what's happened? We've all got the wrong date. But everybody was there, and they knew perfectly well that we as a church had an outreach event in 2 weeks' time. But they'd woken up that morning and Heike was there. She'd gone down to town and she just passed by and thought, oh, you know what? I'll just go in and have a chat with some people. Elaine Jones was there. She had the day before baked a massive chocolate cake at home, much too big for her family. Anyway, Chris is gluten-free and couldn't have eaten it. So she thought, well, do you know what? I'll just take it down there and share it with people and we'll have a bit of a chat. And so people had simply gone down as part of their everyday life, just sharing with people out of their love. And other people had joined in and everybody was just simply enjoying being together, relaxing, and conversations about Jesus were going on everywhere. And as I pondered that, what I took out of it was just this thing of our changing culture. From our outreach events are fabulous and really good and really important, but our day-to-day ongoing communication with people and mixing with people in our community, in our lives, in our families, in our workplaces is so important. And if we can reorient our heads that this evangelism thing isn't about the big things that we do, but it's about our daily joy of just sharing Jesus and being him around people, then that's amazing. So I was very glad I hadn't given you all the wrong date. And I just wanted to put that in context of our vision statement, which is to give everyone in Maidenhead tangible, relevant, life-changing encounters with Jesus. And that's the way we do it. You know, that's the way we do it. We do it every day in the small ways, in the larger ways, whatever opportunities God gives to us. And I want to remind us as I finish about that prayer that Sharon Stone, the lady who came to the River Together way back in January, said to us as people of River Maidenhead. She said, it's your season to advance. The momentum has shifted. So I want to encourage us. It's our season. The momentum has shifted. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's see people swept into knowing Jesus, because that's what God wants. And today is Remembrance Sunday. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down their life for their friends. And in no way belittling that, which was enormous sacrifice on the part of service people, we, day by day, can lay down our lives for our friends, for the people around us. Lay down our lives by taking risks. Lay down our lives by being courageous, by getting over ourselves, by getting over our fear, laying that bit of us down, and reaching out to people around us. So let's resolve together to continue to do that for the people all around us who we mix with, and continue to offer them living water so that they will never go thirsty again. So what I'd like to do is pray. And I wondered if you would stand with me. If you are, everybody's doing it anyway, good, just be obedient. If you're really happy to say, yeah, come on, we're going to keep going with this. I'm going to keep going with this. Lord, take us on a journey of reaching out to our friends, our families, our workplaces, our communities. Let's take more risks. Let's become more bold. And let's go for it as the people of God and recover this lost aspect of our faith. So, Father God, I just want to thank you that you love every person here, that you love every person who is not here. Father God, that your heart and passion is towards every person on this planet, that you laid down your life for every person on this planet. And Lord, thank you for the journey that you've been taking us on as River Church Maidenhead. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue that journey in our hearts, in our culture, in our relationships, in our community, that we continue to be people who offer living water. We offer people a drink of the water that will mean they never go thirsty again, knowing you, living with you, loving you, having your peace, your joy in their lives. Jesus, we want to lift your name up. We want to hold your name out and say, you are worth it. You are worth being the center of our lives. So Father, for all of us, increase our boldness. Increase our boldness. Give us opportunities. Let us be people who are respectful, kind, loving, but people who are full of authenticity about who you are in our lives and who you can be for those around us. So, Jesus, we commit ourselves to you, to this ongoing journey, and we just thank you that you gave yourself for us and everyone we know. In Jesus' name, amen.